The question we'll deal with today is broad in scope, so we'll have to deal with some more other areas in minute details later on as other people ask questions. But the question is today, what is salvation? We know that the term is used by most churches today, and at least here in our area, as far as people being saved. And I'd just like to deal with the question, what is salvation? Now, the word salvation itself appears about 120 times in the Old Testament and about 45 times in the New Testament. The word itself means, as far as the dictionary is concerned, it means deliverance. And the context where the salvation is used has to tell us whether it's a physical deliverance or a spiritual deliverance. I know over in the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verse number 13, we find the word salvation used there. And Moses, as he was caught by the Red Sea, and the Lord told him what to do as far as raising his rod over the Red Sea so that they might walk over on dry ground. And Moses, in verse 13, says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you know, or whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." In other words, salvation is talking there in context about a physical deliverance from the hand of the Egyptian army. God said, in other words, Moses said, see the salvation or the deliverance of the Lord in a physical way. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse number 16, Paul said to the saints at Rome, he said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." There's the word salvation is used, and this is used in the spiritual sense here at this time. And so the context has to tell us whether the word salvation is physical or whether it's spiritual. Now, some people have been delivered from a physical harm, some physical harm some way because they prayed or something, and they claim that's their salvation or their spiritual salvation experience. For instance, I was talking one day to a man some years ago, and he asked him, when was he saved? And he said, "Well, I was in the airplane in World War II, and we were going in on a bombing raid, and I knew it was going to be a tough mission, and I was afraid that I wouldn't come out alive, and I prayed and asked God to bring me out alive, and he did." And I said, "That's good, but when did you get saved?" He could never really tell me when he got saved spiritually. He was looking to a physical deliverance and called it a spiritual salvation experience. But really what it amounts to is this physical deliverance that this man had was God revealing the goodness of God working in him, in that man's life, to bring him to repentance that he might experience real salvation. Romans chapter 2, verse number 4, he says this, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Many times you pray and things happen. It's God leading you. It's God's goodness to lead you to repentance. Therefore, context has to reveal whether the word salvation means physical salvation or spiritual salvation. Now, when we're dealing with spiritual salvation, we must have an understanding of the three parts of salvation involved. Just as God is a Trinity, and He is, He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, I believe man is a triune being. He's spirit, soul, and body, as the Bible makes known in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23. And having a body, he's world conscious. Having a soul, he's self-conscious. And the spirit is where God consciousness should come. But the Bible says that man in his natural state's dead. That simply means that he's separated from God. He has no God consciousness because Adam sinned in the garden, and the day he sinned, he died. Even though he lived 900 and some odd years, he still died spiritually that day. And so therefore the spirit in man, is when the man is born, he's born a spirit, soul, and body, but that spirit, it is separated from God and has no real God consciousness. God's got to awaken that before we'll have any kind of God consciousness. In fact, Romans 5:12 said, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And so we see then, you have to realize that man must dealt with. You must understand the spiritual part of salvation. Now, since man's spirit is dead, it must be quickened by the Holy Ghost through a completed work of Holy Ghost conviction. That's a term that we used, and that's a broad term as well, because there's many specifics. We'll deal with that sometime later. But this is usually whenever this happens, a completed work of Holy Ghost conviction happens, and the work of God is done, then that's usually what we call as when one is saved or being saved. And we call it salvation, and it is spiritual salvation, but it's really just a part of that salvation. It's the first part. It's justification. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1 said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Justified. In other words, we stand in the presence of God just as if we hadn't sinned in one sense. In other words, because the Lord paid our sin debt on the cross of Calvary. So when one is saved, he's justified. In essence, his spirit has been saved from the penalty of sin. Now, there's a second part of salvation, in the spiritual salvation that we want to deal with. And that is the part we call sanctification. Sanctification is the walk of progression toward perfection that will be gained at the first resurrection. The Bible says this in the book of James, chapter 1, verse number 21, "Wherefore?" And now that means, in view of the fact what he had just previously said, and in verse 17 and 18 of James 1, he said, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature." In other words, we're begotten through him. That's justification. Now, wherefore, verse 21 says, "Since we've been justified, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul." In other words, man that has been saved needs to be saved from the power of sin day by day. Because he said that engrafted word, and by the way, we spoke of the living word in which we're saved, is the Lord Jesus who lives inside. And he is the one who, and we need to utilize everything he has, is in us, that we might be able to lay apart that filthiness and overflow of naughtiness that he talked about. And in so doing, we're saved from the power of sin. Now, we can't do it within ourselves. The Holy Spirit's got to enable us to do that. Now, just as justification is point action, where the Spirit is saved from the penalty of sin, sanctification is a progression where we're day by day being saved from the power of sin. What part of man? The soul. The soul is being saved from the power of sin. And one day, our bodies will be saved from the presence of sin. And that's the third part of salvation that we refer to as glorification. The Bible tells us much about that. In the book of Romans, chapter number 8, verse number 30, he made this statement as he talked about all things working together for good in our lives. But here he said in verse 30, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate." Now, that's not a bad word. Many people get upset over that word. That word has nothing to do with a lost man. It has only to do with a saved man. Everyone who's in Christ, Ephesians 1:3 speaks of, has been predestinated to be made, here he says, to be conformed, verse 29 says of Romans 8, to be conformed to the image of his Son. And therefore, he's working in us to bring us like his Son. And that will not happen until we have a glorified body like unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, moreover, he said, "Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." In other words, he said, you're as good as already on the other side right now. If you've been saved, what we call saved, justified, if you've been saved from the penalty of sin, God will work in your life and bring you through the process of progressive sanctification and save your soul day by day from the power of sin. And one day, he'll save your body from the presence of sin. How's that going to be? Well, it's like he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So you see, he said that he's coming back one day to get our bodies, whether a person who's been saved has gone on to be with the Lord, or whether he's still alive at that time. There, it makes no difference. Both will be made like unto our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 says us a little more about this when he said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now, that's not talking about the lost dead. It's talking about only the saved dead, or those that's been justified. And then he says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So you see, it's a mystery. We didn't. Mystery is something you don't understand until the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. But thank the Lord that we can be saved in the sense of being justified, our spirits being saved from the penalty of sin. We can be sanctified, and will be if we've ever been justified. We will be sanctified, or our souls day by day be saved from the power of sin. And one day our bodies will be glorified, will be saved from the presence of sin. That's what Paul talked about in Philippians chapter number 1. As he spoke there in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6, he's writing to the saints. Now remember, all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, and it's all right as long as you don't do injustice to the Word of God. But in Philippians 1, 6, he makes this statement here in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6, when he says this. He said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ." So he's saying if you've been justified, you will come through the process of full salvation and be glorified one day. But folks, that verse can be applied to even a person that God has awakened and stirred that's not yet even been justified. He's faithful to finish what he started. Thank the Lord for a real salvation. He'll bring you through. Peter talked about it, how that we'll be, we're kept by power, verse 5 of chapter 1, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That means that's when the glorification process takes place, and we'll be with our Lord forevermore, all because of a point, place, and a time where we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of the Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again, on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.